Hey, Freedom Family, welcome to the Unlock Your Freedom podcast. My name is Kira Miller. I am the founder and host of this series. Every other week, we'll bring you some of the most life-giving conversations that will empower you to overcome your shame, own your truth, and unlock your freedom. Thank you for joining this conversation today. Now let your freedom journey begin. Hey, Freedom Family, welcome back to the Unlock Your Freedom podcast. My name is Kira Miller, and I am the founder and host of this series. If you struggle with shame, but you desire freedom in your life, my conversation with singer-songwriter Lacey Cavalier today is really going to help you overcome that. And here's why. So basically, we talked a lot about how she had held on to something in her life for way too long, and she finally let it go. And when she did, she was able to really see who she was, who she actually was, and she didn't have to put her identity in things that were not real anymore. And so that was so connected to my own story because I held on to something for so long in my life. And what happened is I got lost in that thing and I lost my identity. I literally lost who I was. And then when I let it go from my life, that's when I was able to really begin to see who I really am again. Same thing happened with Lacey. So yeah, I'm super stoked to share this one with you. Here we go. Sweet. So who would you say Lacey Cavalier was basically in the beginning of your journey with putting your worth in other things and other people?
She was young.
Yeah.
I hate saying the word naive because I feel like that can be taken in a derogatory like manner. But I think she was just really like open to people and things and wasn't quite aware that the world and people could hurt her. But also I think, yeah, it's just a matter of growing up and realizing your boundaries and realizing, you know, what matters to you. And I grew up with faith my whole life. Come. And you knew like my worth, my value, that was in Christ. And you knew that.
Yeah.
But you never really put that, you don't have the opportunity to put that into practice until you're put in situations as an adult or as you get older.
Yeah.
So it was just learning that I did stray from that and that really is the only way that I can feel my most confident and feel my most secure. And it just takes kind of going through not having that to learn that. So.
Yeah. What specifically did you feel like? Maybe not people-wise, but other things. What did you put your worth specifically in?
Being liked. I'm a people pleaser. And it wasn't like, none of these things are ever intentional, right? It's subconscious and you find yourself later on, like I said, once you realize you've lost that confidence or that security or who you are, then you start to trace it back to how it happened. And definitely as a people pleaser and as someone that never wanted to disappoint, whether it be my peers or my authority figures or whatever it was. And learning that I had to like myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really important. And so putting it in people and their opinion of me instead of starting with my opinion of myself and God's opinion of me.
Yeah.
You know?
Ooh, that's good. Who would you say, like, maybe you... Well, no, I guess... Aside from like people pleasing, what do you feel like you were kind of, well, what were maybe like the voices in your head telling you in the beginning of all that?
That if someone didn't like me or like any sort of form of rejection meant that I was not good enough or I was not pretty enough or smart enough or loved enough or whatever it may be. And I either read a quote or heard something the other day. And I'm going to butcher this. I'm so bad at repeating quotes, but it was something to the fact of like, God looks at rejection as an opportunity. Whereas like on earth and in our society, we look at rejection as like a failure or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And being alone is an opportunity for him or, you know, being told no is an opportunity for him. And so learning that and, it's not the end of the world that, you know, if you don't succeed at something or someone doesn't want to love you or doesn't want to be friends with you or whatever it may be, like that's okay.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing that I'm learning right now in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I keep hearing it repeated to me every time we're like in the dark room of life in that isolating place, that is where God is developing you the most, and that is where he's doing the most work in you. And we're actually not supposed to try and get out of it too quickly,
right?
Because he literally is like, hey, this is my timing, and I want you to stay here for right now because you're not ready for the thing that I have for you
yet. It's a purposeful season.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely. So when you were people pleasing, also, like, what did that look like? I mean, I know you've already sort of been sharing a bit about it, but
I think as humans in general, like, all of us have some form of that. If you don't, then please teach me. Lucky right? you. But then on top of that, with the career path that I chose, it's even more so elevated or maximized, because my whole career is like, you know, make really vulnerable art and hope that it doesn't flop.
Yeah.
And so having to be okay with the art that I was creating, having to be proud of it regardless of whether people liked it, I still, like, I'm going to struggle with that for the rest of my life. But having the combination of already just from a human to human basis, feeling like I want to please, like in a conversation with you or in whatever it may be, and then adding on top of it what I choose, like what I choose as my career.
Yeah.
Just, it's a daily, you know, occurrence of like, oh, are they going to like what I'm wearing?
Right.
You know, did I play that show well enough? Did I sound good enough?
Right.
Is my music good enough? Whatever it is. So it's just heightened.
Yeah. Did you grow up in music or did you have like another career path planned for yourself?
I always wanted to do this.
Really?
Yeah.
Super cool.
When I was a kid, I was on Barney.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were one of those.
Yeah.
Dang. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, since I was a little kid, I mean, you know, like when there would be book fairs at school and things like that, like I would get the monologue books and I would go to my brother's baseball game and do these monologues in front of the whole stands and everyone's like, sit down, like stop. And so it got to a point where one of the kids on my brother's baseball team, his mom would take their other son to acting camps. So I begged my mom and she finally took me and ended up getting an agent and, booked Barney and booked other things. And so that's kind of how things started. And from there, when I turned 12, I was like, I think I want to retire from acting. It's time. I need to focus on music. Yeah. My parents are like, this bitch. Like, what is she talking
about? Retirement at 12.
Exactly. Yeah. So then the music stuff kind of started. They brought me here for the first time. I recorded a demo record and it just kind of snowballed. And here I am. 22 and I really like my life has been this always so I don't really know anything different.
Would you say that because you were acting at a young age, would you say that the people maybe that you were working with, because it's like television, I mean, sort of they're telling you what to do and you're young, so did you feel like you had to please them too and you couldn't really be yourself necessarily?
I think I'm always myself. I think I'm just really hard on myself and I think I want to succeed. As does anyone. And then on top of that, like as a performer, like you're a show off. You want to get up there and you want to do your thing and you want to see people smiling and laughing. And especially if you're 8 years old and it's adults looking at you, because your whole life, whether it be your teacher, your parents, your coaches, you want to make them proud.
Right.
And so it always came from a good place of just wanting to make people proud of me and wanting to be proud of the work I'm doing.
Yeah. So. It's funny because I think now, like looking back at our lives and being like, oh, I was such a people pleaser, we almost look at it as it was like a bad thing.
Yeah.
But when we're in it, it's like, how bad really was it?
Right.
Because we were just trying to make people proud.
Right.
You know, which is not a bad thing.
It's a healthy amount is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, knowing your boundaries and knowing like how far you'll go to be accepted.
Yeah.
You know,
that's good. Mm-hmm. So when would you say maybe all this was sort of exposed for you, that you were people pleasing too much?
I think I always somewhat knew, because when I did fail, it was so dramatic and it was so over the top and I took it so much worse than I ever should have. I mean, if I got a B on a test, I felt like my world was ending.
Yeah.
I'm a perfectionist. All of those things.
Yeah.
But I think as an adult, it hit me after a long-term relationship and I looked up and I was like, holy cow, I think what I was chasing for the past 3 years was to be enough for someone or to feel like they saw, you know, me for who exactly who I am, but it didn't have anything to do with me at all, the way they treated me, you know? And just realize, even at the end of it, when you're waiting for them to come to you and apologize or say, you know, whatever it is that would make you feel validated, I realized that was never going to make me feel better. And that I had to do that for myself.
Okay. So was there like a reckoning experience for you where like something was maybe stripped from you? Maybe it was a relationship where you realized you had to like actually face yourself and the thing that you were doing?
It was definitely that relationship. It was probably about 2 years ago. And since then, I mean, it didn't happen overnight, or it's still not like I will never arrive.
Right.
But I'm definitely the proudest and the happiest I've ever been of who I am and what I'm doing and what I'm creating. And I thank God that it took that situation or that that situation had to happen for me to realize that, because again, like I'm so much prouder of who I am as a person than I was then. Not that I was bad. Again, like my behavior in that relationship all stemmed from good intentions and loving someone. But
at the same time, you're broken.
But I was definitely broken, and I was holding on for the wrong reasons.
Okay. And you were holding on too long, probably?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
When I knew, like, I'm not an idiot. Like, I knew what was going on and how I was being treated, and everything I've ever been taught went against how I was being treated. But you chalk it up to, I love this person, and I want to, again, perfectionist, like, hard worker, not wanting to disappoint, not wanting to leave someone when you feel like they need you.
Yeah. I feel that.
So, just stayed in it too long.
Yeah.
But now I wouldn't even say that. I think it was necessary to get to that point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I totally get that. Because even in my life, it was actually something that I did to other people. Mm-hmm. Basically, I catfished people.
Yeah.
Pretty wild. But, like, that was the thing that I did. And I did it for so long. Mm-hmm. Like, 10 years. It was, like, a true addiction.
Yeah.
And I did that. And it took a really long time, obviously, for me to finally let go of it and realize that, hey, actually, what you're doing is not as good as you think it is. Because I always tricked myself into thinking that what I was doing was actually, like, okay.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what you end up doing when
you can train your brain to believe anything.
Yeah, it's wild. And so I, like, held on to this thing for a super long time. And then when it was my lies were exposed.
Yeah.
It was like this huge reckoning that just took place in my life, because it's literally like you're losing your identity.
Oh, for sure. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, you just put your identity in that one thing. Mm-hmm. Once you have it, you're like, who am I?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had lunch with a new friend today, and we talked a lot about that, and it obviously it had to do with the relationship side of things, of like your identity, whether it be the friendships you make through those people or just being that person's person. Like I'm so-and-so's girlfriend, or I'm these are my friends, or whatever, like that ends up happening. And so when it ends and all of that's stripped from you,
who am I?
Yeah. Who am I? Who am I friends with? What do I even look for in friends?
Dang,
like, what do I like in people? And why would someone be friends with me?
Right.
You know, what do I bring to the table?
Right.
And all those questions come up that you would have never been forced to face had you not been stripped from the identity you've created in your mind of who you are.
So when, after that happened, then, like, what did that look like? Because you probably had to go into some deep self-reflection, I would assume.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing moving forward was my priority, and what is still so important to me, is being transparent and just honest in every area of my life. Yeah. And I don't mean confrontational or this or that, but just a direct, honest human being. And I think you can do that with love and whatnot. But I hid so many things to try to help someone, and it never helped anyone.
Right. Them and you.
Yeah. And so I think just making sure to always bring things to the light. And that was, I had to start doing that. I had to start digging and being like, what have I not been honest to myself about, to my friends about, to my family about? And man, it just strengthened so many relationships. And not that I was like intentionally lying or this or that. It was just, I thought that was what was best at the time.
You thought you were protecting.
100%. And it was making me a shell of a human, because I was like, I don't even know what I stand for. Like, this is, you know, whatever it may be. And so now I, like, that's one thing. Even when I meet someone now and say, how are you? And they're like, good. I'm like, how are you really?
How are you really?
Yeah. Like, what's going on? Like, I want to know. Like, that, the whole point of life is connecting with other human beings. And, like,
honestly.
Yeah. Like, and you cannot reach true intimacy, whether that be relationships or friendships or family, you know, relationships, without that sort of transparency. Yep. And I thrive off of that.
Yeah.
Connecting with the people that I love.
Yeah.
So just starting there was my, like, immediate goal, and it's changed my life.
Dude, that's awesome. How do you, like, sort of showcase this, like, this new self on social media even? Because I think one of the biggest things that I always tell people too is, like, you don't always want to share your full self on social media. Like, it's important to share what you're going through, what you're overcoming, but, like, there is a sense of intimacy that you need to leave for the people that are closest with you, and that's not social media.
Yeah.
So how do you sort of treat that for yourself?
I think I kind of wait until, I mean, sometimes I'll talk about things in the midst of it happening, but a lot of times I'll wait until I've dealt with it.
Yeah, I feel that.
And if I still feel like it's something that I think could be helpful to the people that care enough to follow my life, then I'll choose to share it. But again, just being human. And hell yeah, like, when I get my hair and makeup done and a professional photo taken, I want to post it. Heck, and be proud of it. Like, we all do that. Yes, they are a highlight reel, but at the same time, like, which I love,
if you're actually excited about, though.
But, like, what I love about stories and stuff too is, like, that's a daily interaction where you can't hide much. And so I choose to use that platform to talk for an hour if I want to talk for an hour. And like, y'all, I had a really freaking hard week, and I was really insecure about this, and I spent 48 hours, like, obsessing over this, and until this one person talked to me, and I had, like, you know, my eyes opened up to whatever it may be. Like, I love sharing those things, like, whether it be sermons or just talks with my parents or friends that I look up to or whatever it may be, and spreading light as much as I possibly can, because it is a rough world out there on Instagram, and it can be such a positive thing, but it also can just make you feel this big so quick, which we all know that, and it's something we've all signed up for. So I think just trying to be the small percentage of light that exists on that platform. So
How would you say your songwriting has changed too?
Honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Writing more from the heart.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and again, like, I don't think I ever set out to be dishonest prior to, you know, the past 2 years. But I think it's very easy in Nashville, which is where we are. For anyone that's wondering. It's easy here to get used to the structure and the expectations and the pressure of what radio may want or labels may want or whatever it may be. And you lose the, like, just natural, I don't know, desire to share.
Yeah.
Because you feel boxed in, or you feel, again, like you'll disappoint.
Yes.
And I think having to let go of that and be like, no, I'm enough. What I have to say is enough.
Yeah.
And regardless if people like it or not, I'm proud of this.
Yeah.
And so that, to me, started from writing by myself again.
Okay.
And now most every song that I release, I either written by myself or I've started on my own and brought the people I trust in on it.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Is that how, wait, it's called Cheating?
Cheating on You.
Okay, Cheating on You. Is that how that song came about too?
Yeah. Ooh. I wrote it first as just almost like a poem, like just stanzas after stanza. And man, I used to just lay there and cry at night and just write stanzas. And and so that was one that I just kept going back to. I mean, I didn't bring someone in on that for probably 6 months.
Wow.
Like, it was one that I would...
So the finishing piece, probably.
Yeah, I would read it and edit it and read it and edit it and read it and edit it. And then finally, a friend that I've known for years from Louisiana, I was like, can you help me put, like, a melody to this? And still, even after that, I rewrote a chorus for 6 to 8 months and last minute put it out on a whim because I was like, you know what, this is special. Something that's helped me heal and better understand what I'm going through.
Yeah.
So.
And that's been your biggest song, right?
Yeah.
And is that the first one that went to radio?
It hopefully will be. Yeah, it's done that well. Yeah. But yeah, I had knee surgery last year, and that's a lot of just sitting and staring at the wall.
Yeah.
And I hadn't put out music in a year. Okay. And you have a lot of those conversations with yourself of what in the world am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
Who do I want to be? What do I want to do? Like, I truly believe God's given every single human being a talent that should be used. Yep. And like, you know what? Yeah, I think that I'm capable of singing, and I think I'm capable of performing and all of those things. But the talent that I feel like I was given was the ability to connect with people and to be honest and to be myself. And that's where I feel my most confident, when I allow myself to do that. And to me, that was through songwriting, and that song was the perfect example of that. And so, I mean, I literally started walking like a week and a half, 2 weeks before I filmed the music, the lyric video. Yeah. For that, I was like, when I get better, I'm putting this out. And we turned it around in like 2 to 3 weeks, and I filmed the video at like 7 p.m., met my friends at Doghouse at 9 p.m., and like uploaded it for the next day. Like, I was like, I'm doing it. I was like, I'm proud of this.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. It was important to me. Didn't care if anyone heard it. Literally the next day, it was like scheduled to come out 7 p.m., so I left my phone at home and I went to the Preds game. I was like, I don't even want to know.
And it blew up on Spotify first,
On YouTube.
YouTube, okay.
Yeah, so it
I remember my friends telling me about it, and it was Spotify. And then it went, did it go to radio?
It did, right? Well, it was on radio, but I'm independent, so there was no, like,
keeping promo.
But Bobby Bones played it, which was sick.
Okay.
And that was all just through people finding it, which was even the coolest. And it gave me the confidence that, okay, you're right. Like, your gut instinct, you know, was given to you for a reason, and, like, roll with it. And even as being women, I feel like we're naturally given... No offense.
To any man.
I feel like we are given such a special, like, intuition and gut instinct. And we know when things are right, and we know when they're not. And that felt right.
Intentional.
Yeah. And so now, like, I don't move forward with things if they don't feel that way.
Yep.
And it's not like, oh, every single song's going to, it's going to happen exactly like Cheating on You did. No, it's not. That's silly to think.
Yeah.
But I have to feel that same pride or I won't move forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's interesting is obviously it was connecting with other people. And like someone like me, I think I've heard the song maybe 2 or 3 times just because I don't really listen to country music much. But literally I had 4 or 5 different friends say to me, oh my God, Kira, you have to check out this song because it was a story. And I was like, finally, we have someone just out there writing a true story that doesn't really need to be interpreted. It's just like the full truth. And for me, that's like the most connective thing in the world. I don't really want to interpret things. I just want to know, just give me the direct details. Because when I try to, or when someone makes me interpret something, I feel like they're not being fully honest, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it was just like special that 4 or 5 different people, I think, literally sent me the song and were like, Kira, you gotta check this out. You gotta check this
out. That's so cool.
And they kept talking about you. And I was like, I literally have no idea who this person is, but all right, I gotta have them on my podcast.
Yeah, it's not abstract by any means.
Yeah.
But my biggest fear with that was, how is anyone gonna connect with this when this is so brutally
literal.
Honest? Yeah, and literal to my life. And that was the craziest part. I was like, people are all, the only thing I'm going to get is, why would this girl talk, like, put this guy out there like this? Why, like, who is this about? Like, I thought that was, no, that was probably 1% of the comments or the messages or whatever that I got. It was, this is my life. And I was like, how could that be? And they're like, no, this is my life. No, this is my, this is my story. And that was the most mind blowing thing. I was like, oh my gosh, this, it is possible to be that honest and for people to relate. Which I was worried about. So that's really cool to hear.
I feel that. And like, literally, once I told my story on my podcast, well, I'd kind of been, I'd hoped that people would connect with it the way they did, but I was like, no one is catfish people.
Yeah.
Literally all my friends afterwards, like friends and people I didn't know, have come up to me and been like, Kira, not in the most literal way that you did, but I have totally done things like that before. And several of them said they've like catfished people. And I'm like, what? I thought that my story was so like dark and such a secret that no one else could ever connect with it. Mm-hmm. And it's like when we just share it, we give other people the invitation to just share who they are as well.
Yeah, which is why, again, bringing things to the light is so important. Yeah. Because then we can all live there and not feel judged or shameful.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so like this, your story is out, and I guess who would you say has really been like holding you up during all of this?
Obviously my family, but I think from a business side of it, my manager is like my best friend, one of my best friends, and is just the kindest on the planet. And I say all the time, like when people, if when he's with me, like when people walk up and they're like, "You're killing it," you're this and that. I'm like, he deserves way more of the credit than I will ever, because it may be my words and it may be my voice and my face, but he is the one that is always instilling confidence in me and like making me feel so sure. And man, listening like poor Matt, he is like, he's been my therapist for years, and he does it with the just sweetest smile on his face, and is just happy to be there. And I say all the time, I'm like, I don't want success if it's not with him.
Dang.
And to find that has been the coolest thing ever, because it is like a marriage. Like,
oh yeah,
this is the person I talk to 24/7 a day. I'm with all the time, and I'm not the kind of person that wants to like bounce around and work with different people for the rest of my career. It's like, I want this
person.
Yeah. I want these people, and I trust these people, and I trust them with my life.
Yeah.
So that's been,
that's special.
Such a special relationship, and one that I didn't know if I'd ever have, because I've been here a long time and I've met with so many managers, and there was a reason why I never pulled the trigger. And he is just the one of the greatest gifts.
Yeah.
So
how'd you meet him?
It's actually a cool story, because it goes back to the women's intuition, my mom and motherly intuition. So I work with Disney a lot, and so I was doing a charity song with them, and another one of his clients, it's a group, and they were doing it as well, and I met him and didn't really think anything of it. Like, I was the only one there without representation, like was just chilling. Met him, it was fine. But then like a week later, my mom calls me and she's like, "Don't kill me." So what did you do? Because she doesn't overstep at all, and knows this is my thing, and has never been that mom. Sorry, I have to burp. Anyways, and so she's like, "I emailed a manager." I said, "What?" She goes, "Yeah. Do you know Jesse James Decker?"
Yeah.
So he also manages her, who I was such a fan of.
Freaking boss.
Yeah, and my mom knew I was such a fan of her. And so I guess in that same week, he came across him through her stuff, and she's like, "I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed about this, and I just felt like I needed to reach out to him. So I emailed this manager, and he wants to get lunch with you." And I'm like, usually I'd be like, "Come on, why did you do that?" My mom, and I was like, "Really? He does?" And I didn't even know it was the same person until he called me, and we talked for like 3 hours, and he was like, "Yeah, we met last week." And it was just one of those things.
Dude, that's
where
wild.
To this day, I'm like, "Mom, you're the freaking best. Thank you for doing that." And he had no intention of taking on any other acts, and it's still just us three.
Okay.
So that was cool. It was definitely, for me, it felt very like a divine thing. So
Okay, so now you're on the other side of this, and you have a pretty core team of people who are holding you up. I guess, like, what would you say your life looks like right now?
This is a
like,
first.
Still probably chaotic too, right?
Yeah.
That's life.
This is the first time in my life I've felt my age.
Okay.
Like as far as like I feel my responsibilities now match my age, whereas for so long it was a weird, I'm 18 and I have to do this and this and I have to carry myself. This is the first time I'm like, I feel like completely me, and this is completely right. And
that's awesome.
Obviously there's like three nights a week where I'm bawling my eyes out drinking wine. Like that still happens.
Yeah, yeah.
But right now it's still writing music. We have a record coming out in July, which I'm really excited about. It's kind of the rest of the story of the cheating on you stuff. The things that I know, the songs I never thought would see the light of day, but I was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Like these songs did well. So that's kind of what's happening. And just really being intentional with my vision and making sure that I'm, you know, 100% the one in charge of bringing those things to life, and that everything's completely me and authentically me. And personal life, just probably drinking too much and staying out too late and doing the 22 year old things. Getting in a wreck like I did on the way here.
Yeah, guys, she got in a wreck on the way here and she's still here.
I'm here.
And this is a freaking awesome podcast. Okay, I don't know how you're not flustered right now.
Because it's one of those things where, like, you leave and you're so humbled. You're like, I just hit someone. And so this is probably the best time to do it. You know, can't walk in with a chip on my shoulder. Kind of, you know, here I am, you know. So that's where I'm at. Okay. Just really focused on what I want to do. And trying to be a better human being.
Yes.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what would you say to people who maybe are like, maybe they're in something for too long, whether it's a relationship, a job, just anything. They're in it for too long and, or maybe it's God's timing, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But like they feel like they're in it for too long and they don't really know how to get out. Mm-hmm. What would you say to those people?
Ooh. You probably shouldn't take advice from me. No, I would say prayer is huge. Yeah. And that sounds so cliche or whatever it may be. But I think bringing those things to God is huge.
Yeah.
And being honest with yourself and Him first and listening to Him and yourself. And to do the things that scare you. Like if it is leaving a job or leaving a relationship or whatever, you're obviously having that urge for a reason and you need to do it because YOLO.
Yeah, right?
But for real.
For real,
like
you
only have one life and don't stay in something that is making you unhappy because you have the choice to be happy. Every single day you have the choice to wake up and make those small decisions that compile into joy and happiness and gratitude. Yeah. And if something is not doing that for you and it is something you can work on, then work on it. If it's something you need to leave, then leave.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe because I have privilege compared to some people, but like I do believe just from hearing so many other people's stories who were like, totally who didn't have any really sort of privilege but like had the mental power that they were like, listen, even though I have these awful circumstances, like I'm going to still make a choice and overcome whatever it is that I need to overcome. And I just think like that's a big thing too for people is no matter what your situation is, like it could be life or death too, you still always have the power inside of you and the choice inside of you to get out of that thing. And it might be literally risking your life, but be literally only because I've heard that from other people, I know that it's possible.
Yeah.
Not from my own life because there's never really been a life or death situation for me, but from hearing from other people, I'm like, you always have the choice.
Yeah. So. No, I completely agree. And I feel the same way. I'm like, I've never been put in a situation where it's like really been that.
Yeah.
Crazy and stressful. Right. Like, yes, there's things that have happened, but like nothing to the point where I'm like, oh, poor me. Like, I understand there's people in a lot, you know, higher risk situations and more stressful situations.
More
barriers. And and the ones that are so mentally strong, I'm so inspired by.
Yeah.
But yeah, I encourage the same thing. Like, just man up.
Yeah.
And, you know, do what you can because everyone is very capable.
Yeah. When you start to fall back into, like, let's just say feelings of discouragement or even just, like, feeling like you have to please other people, what do you do to sort of get out of that? What you were saying, praying.
Trying to learn, I'm still trying to learn. I mean, I just posted on Instagram about this a couple days ago because I was having one of those moments where, and a lot of times it happens when I finish a project or I've like just finished something and I'm like, what do I do with myself? And I have nothing to pour my energy into. And since I'm human and whatever, and a 22 year old girl, a lot of times I allow that energy to be poured into negative thoughts and okay, well now this is done. What if it sucks and no one likes it and this and that. And instead of picking up my Bible or praying or calling friends and taking the focus off of myself for one freaking second and stop being so selfish and narcissistic. It's like, how are they doing? You know, maybe if I pour my energy into being there for someone else, I could stop freaking, you know, sulking around.
Yeah.
All easier said than done. But
for sure.
Yeah. I think having to have those tough conversations with myself of being, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You are so blessed.
Yeah.
And picking out those little things to be grateful for and excited about, because we live such incredible lives.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
Dude, I love that. Especially because I think something that's really been, I guess, like over my head recently is someone said this a couple weeks ago at like a sermon. Yeah, I think I was at church and they said this and they said, how does God feel about your sin? Like, think about how he actually is reacting to what you're doing and how it breaks his heart. Take the focus off yourself. Think about how it's breaking the one who created you.
Mm-hmm.
And think about that while you're going through something, because basically you're probably going to stop having a pity party after
100%.
That. Yeah.
I'm the queen of pity parties. and then an hour later, I'm like, you could get it together. Get it together.
At least you get it together.
Yeah. At some point I do. I turn it around. But that's something I've tried to be very transparent about on social media, is like, it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not all pretty.
Right. But. So who would you say Lacey Cavalier is right now?
Human.
Yeah. Yep. And recognizing that.
Yeah. She's figuring it out. Mm-hmm. She's just trying to wake up every day and I don't know.
Yeah.
Do it at the best I can, whatever it may be. I would say she's tries to be the most honest, kind, good friend.
Mm-hmm.
Tries to be hardworking.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just all the things I aspire to be, I'm like trying to stack days working at that. And hopefully one day, again, I'll never arrive, but I just want to be prouder and prouder of of my progress, I guess. Look at her go.
Yes. Pat yourself on the back. Give yourself a hug, you know?
But yeah, I don't know if I even answered that question.
No, I mean, you just said you recognize you're human, essentially.
Yeah. Okay.
And then what would you say has maybe been like a, I don't know, like a Bible verse, an inspirational quote? Maybe it's someone's story that you feel like is really connected with your own.
Mm. I think recently reading about the spirit versus the flesh has been huge in my daily life, and just realizing what is of the flesh, what is of the spirit, as far as like anger, resentment, jealousy, all of those things of the flesh as a human, like that's what comes naturally. You can choose that.
Yeah.
But then to be of the spirit and to be compassionate and kind and whatever it may be, all of those things, that is something I want to get tattooed, actually. But that's something that I think about or try to think about every day, because I'm a hothead.
Yeah.
And not only do we live in 2019 in the world of comparison, but especially in this industry, it's so hard. And things like that where I'm like, I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I'm bitter. Yeah. I'm angry. And acknowledging those things and saying that's being of this world and that's being of my flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want that.
Right.
So I think that's something that's really hit me recently. And just, knowing that my end goal is to be a good Christian and a good human. And
to be spiritual. Really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be connected in that way. And I can so tell when I'm not spiritually aligned.
Yeah.
And so tell.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I sense that, I try to get back on track and not get in a wreck.
Yes. Well, you did good at that today. Okay. And then where can people find you on social media?
At Doug the Puck. I'm just kidding.
Doug the Puck is the best.
Lacey Cavalier everything. LacyCavalier.
Cool.
And that's Spotify, iTunes, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, all the things.
All the things.
Apparently there's no other Lacey Cavalier.
Really?
That wants to be a musician and post Instagram photos.
Oh yeah, because wait, I guess you're literally just Lacey Cavalier
on everything. It. Yeah, I don't know how I lucked out.
I just want to say thank you so much for coming on, and
thank y'all for having me.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing that I say in every single podcast, it seems like, but the fact that you are talking about this stuff while you're still like going through it. Yes, there are parts of it that you've totally overcome, but you're still like in the midst of figuring it out, and you're still, like you said the other day, you had sort of a harder day, and you mm-hmm. talked about it on social media. And I just think that that's so important, because in a world where there is a highlight reel and there's a lot of perfectionistic stuff, it's so real and connective to hear what people are really going through.
Yeah.
So I just want to acknowledge you for doing that.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate you like telling your story as well.
Thank you.
And I actually like at the every question you asked, I wanted to be like, yeah, so what about you?
And I was like,
we need to do that one day.
Right,
but I appreciate you having me.
Thank you.
This has been awesome.
If you want more life-giving conversations like what you heard today with Lacey, you can click the big red subscribe button. Also, go follow me on Instagram, DM me, let's chat. It's The Rage Boss. You're going to find a lot of weird, wild, and hopefully some inspiring content on there as well. So yeah, we will see you next time, and thanks for tuning in.
Bye, y'all.